Hello. In last week's message, we saw King Herod Antipas presiding over his own birthday banquet. It was a sumptuous meal. And in the midst of that meal, the head of John the Baptist was served on a platter. Today we see Jesus presiding over a meal as well. But this meal is common fare. Over 5,000 people were fed, and they were fed by Jesus with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Let us pray. Almighty, gracious, eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we look at the compassion of our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, the Shepherd of the sheep, we pray that you would grant to us wisdom and grace and understanding. Please forgive our sins and open our hearts and our minds to the teaching of your word today. We ask through Christ our King. Amen. Hear the reading of God's holy word. I'm reading today from Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 30 and going through verse 44. The apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while." For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. They went away in a boat to a secluded place by themselves. The people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate, and it is already quite late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go look." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them all to sit down by groups on the green grass. They sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food and broke the loaves, and he kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 12 full baskets of the broken pieces and also of the fish. There were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. Amen. This is God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. May he add his wonderful blessings to our reading and hearing and understanding of it today. Jesus had sent his 12 apostles away on a preaching mission, a training preaching mission. They had gone forth, they had preached the gospel, they had healed the sick, and they had cast out demons. And now they come back to Jesus and report to him all of the work that they had done. Jesus takes note immediately of their fatigue, and as a compassionate Savior, he asks them to come away with him to a secluded spot where they could rest. Christ wants to provide physical rest for his people. They are worn out from this preaching mission. And so this fatigue and their need for physical rest is something that he takes note of and he wants to take care of, and therefore they go with him. Now, also notice that because of the success of their preaching mission, these 12 apostles have become known to large crowds as well. And so not only are men and women seeking out Jesus Christ himself, they are also now beginning to seek out these 12 apostles, and they recognize that these men have been sent out by Jesus, they're associated with Jesus, and now they search for them as well. So many people are going and coming and seeking out the disciples of Jesus as well as Jesus himself that these 12 do not even have time to eat a meal. And so on top of their fatigue comes their hunger. Therefore, Jesus requests of them that they depart with him in the boat for a secluded spot. Now, they don't go all the way across the lake. They apparently only go along the shoreline a short distance to find a secluded spot. We don't know where that was. And as they travel along the shoreline, the crowds who recognize Jesus and recognize these 12 apostles see them leave in the boat, and they follow along the shoreline. And people come from the surrounding villages and towns, and they arrive at the spot where Jesus and the disciples are landing before Jesus and the disciples get there. And so when Jesus arrives with his 12 disciples in order to give them time for rest, there is no rest. There's no rest for these weary men because already the crowds are there. Many have assembled. And Jesus, when he sees the crowd, has compassion on them. He takes note of a very important fact about them, that they are milling about like sheep without a shepherd. Now, think for just a minute what this looked like. They've come to a place, and we see the description here, of green grass. And so these folks have come from all the surrounding towns and villages. They're generally dressed in white. And so as they mill about on the green grass, they look for all the world like a flock of unruly sheep, sheep that are pushing and shoving, trying to get ahead of one another, that have no shepherd, no guidance of any kind. And therefore, Jesus takes note of this. And it's because of his notice of the fact that these folks look like sheep without a shepherd that we see him as the good shepherd as he cares for his sheep. This, of course, was the plan of the Lord Jesus Christ all along. He wanted his disciples, and that includes us today as Christians, to understand that the needs of others come before our own physical comfort or our own physical needs. And so, in spite of the weariness, in spite of the fatigue, in spite of the hunger of his 12 apostles, Jesus wants them to place others ahead of themselves. And so he uses this occasion to teach them about true compassion. Now, Jesus is, as I mentioned before, the Good Shepherd. He sees these folks as a flock milling about on the hillside, and he begins to feed them. He feeds them, first of all, spiritually. He began to teach them many things. And so the main need that they had back then, and the main need that you have and I have today, is to be fed from the Word of God. As the Good Shepherd, this is Jesus' primary teaching that he does. And for us today, as ministers of the gospel, as Christians, what we need more than anything else is to be taught from the Word of God. And so, pastors, I exhort you to be about what Jesus was about, which primarily was teaching people the truths of the Scriptures as they related to him and to his great work of salvation that he was doing. That is our calling, and that is our goal as well. And so the Lord Jesus Christ looks upon these folks, and there is a contrast here that I think Mark presents by juxtaposing first the banquet of Herod and then this meal of the feeding of the 5,000 by Jesus. Think about it in this way. King Herod had invited only the rich and famous to his banquet. We saw last time that there were Roman leaders, there were Jewish leaders, and there were military commanders invited to his birthday party. And he served them a sumptuous meal provided by gourmet chefs. Jesus, however, addresses the common people who are there. He calls them to listen to him, and he provides for them a spiritual fare of teaching first. He then provides common food for them as well. He provides bread and fish for the crowd that is assembled there. Herod provided entertainment in the form of an exotic dancer who inflamed the lusts of the guests who were at his party. Jesus, rather than doing anything like that, provides not entertainment, but on the bulletin here, what is going on is Jesus has come to teach and to feed his people first spiritually and then physically. Herod shows his sinful lust by having a man decapitated, a true servant, a true shepherd of Israel, John the Baptist, and having his head served on a dinner platter as though he were one of the offerings at this banquet. Jesus does nothing of the kind. Instead, he shows his divine power to his disciples. Primarily, this miracle is for the 12 apostles, for them to see and understand, as he multiplies the bread and the fish, these meager offerings that they have, and makes it go far enough to feed all of the people assembled there, at least 5,000 men, as well as others who are there on that green grass in front of Jesus Christ. And so the contrast is between the great and the mighty and the common and the humble, between gourmet food versus basically bread and fish, between lustful entertainment versus spiritual teaching. And all of this is there for Mark to show us the contrast and to show us the great superiority of the compassion of Jesus. Herod had no compassion for John. He was more concerned about saving face in front of his guests, and he ordered John to be killed. But Jesus is the compassionate good shepherd. He sees the need of these folks before him, and he feeds the sheep from the Word of God and from common, ordinary fare as well. Now, it was either late in the day when Jesus started his teaching, or Jesus taught for a long time and it grows late, but the disciples come to Jesus and they take note of the fact that it is already growing very late. They see this large crowd that's gathered there, and they're concerned about the health and the welfare of all the people. It's growing late. They're going to be hungry. We need to send them away right now so they can go into the surrounding villages and towns and seek food for themselves. That's what they come to Jesus to say. And so they are showing a measure of compassion themselves as well as they see the physical need of this particular crowd. Now, they're not thinking, however, how difficult this is going to be. Mark tells us at the end of this passage that there were 5,000 men who ate the bread and the fish. And he emphasizes men in distinction from women and children. We're told in other passages regarding this that there were women and children there as well. And so estimates of the size of the crowd can range upward to 15 or even 20,000 people assembled there. Now think about that for just a second, and then think about the fact that the two closest towns most likely were Bethsaida and Capernaum. And together, these two towns only housed normally between 2,000 and 3,000 inhabitants. And so even if the largest estimate of 6,000 people in these two towns was accurate, there are almost three times as many gathered together. Now, some may have come from those towns as well, but still, we're talking 15,000 to 20,000 people. They would overwhelm a town as they went in and tried to seek food. And so the disciples have not thought that it is nigh on to impossible for them to actually go somewhere, find food, and for all of these people to be fed. And so they've come to Jesus and they've asked that he send the people away. But Jesus' reply is startling to these 12. He says to them, "You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat." It's going to call for a miracle. And they're not aware of any way that they can do any such thing. And so they begin to, first of all, not believe what Jesus has just told them to do, and then to raise all sorts of objections to what Jesus told them to do. Their response is one of absolute incredulity that Jesus would make such a suggestion. This is a vast crowd. They don't have enough money to be able to handle them. They say, "Lord, it would take over 200 days' wages." That's what a denarius was approximately a day's wage. And so it's the better part of a year or maybe even almost a whole year's wages to be able to feed this crowd. We don't have that kind of money. And so what they're thinking about is it's totally impossible. It's like trying to provide for a wedding banquet, not take everybody to McDonald's. And they just simply can't believe that Jesus would tell them that they need to do something like this. It's impossible, they're saying. And their response is something of a rebuke to the Lord Jesus Christ as well. How could you even think about asking us to do this? We don't have the money. Think about how much is involved in all of this. This is an impossible task for us to go and buy the food and bring it back here. Now, that's not what he's asking them to do, of course. He asked them next to check their own supplies and see what they've got. This is not a question of go poll the crowd and see how much food they brought, but rather you 12, you look and see what type of food you've got together here. And so it is it's an appointment to the 12 apostles to look to their own meager supplies of food that they have brought and tell him what they've got. And they do. They check and they see that among these 12, they have 5 barley loaves and they have 2 fish. And that's all they've got. That is their insufficient supply for anything that would ever approach the crowd. I mean, it's not nothing, but it is as close to nothing as you could possibly get faced with feeding anywhere from 5,000 to 20,000 people. And so, too often, you and I are like the 12 apostles when we read the commands of God in Holy Scripture. The task of making disciples out of all nations that Jesus has committed into our hands is an impossible task. We know that. We know that of ourselves, we do not have the resources. We do not have the supplies necessary to carry out that task. And so often faced with these overwhelming duties, these overwhelming commands, we focus instead on our lack of provisions to do the job instead of looking to the one who provides all that we have as well as all that we need in order to be able to accomplish the task that he's called us to do. And so we need to look beyond ourselves. We need to look to the one who is able to provide abundantly beyond all that we can ask or imagine. We need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Good Shepherd. Jesus, in this passage, is fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies regarding the Good Shepherd. And there are many of those. Psalm 23, verse 1, for example, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Or Psalm 78, verse 72, "So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them with his skillful hands." Or Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, "Like a shepherd he will tend his flock. In his arms he will gather his lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes." Or Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out." Or Ezekiel 34, verse 23, "Then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them and will feed, he will feed them himself and be their shepherd." Jesus had these folks sit down in groups of hundreds and fifties, just as the Israelites had been organized during their wilderness wandering. Back in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, we read, "Furthermore, you shall select out of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain, and you shall place these as over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens." And so part of that group is hundreds and fifties, and this is what Jesus has them to do. He has them sit down on the green grass, which ought to remind us once again of that shepherd psalm, Psalm 23, verse 2. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." And so Christ has these folks sit down in the green pasture and he provides them the water of life, his spiritual teaching about himself. So he takes this meager supply of 5 barley loaves and 2 fish and he prays in thankfulness to the Lord for this provision for this crowd. He looks up to heaven, which is a little difference from the normal way in which Jewish prayers were performed. Normally, the eyes would be cast down, but Jesus looks to his heavenly Father. He looks up and he thanks God. And he probably thanks God with the common prayer that was given before and after meals in a Jewish home. That prayer was, "Praise be to you, O Lord, our God, King of the world, who makes bread to come forth from the earth and who provides for all that you have created." Something along those lines, certainly. He's thanking God the Father for his provision for these loaves of bread. And then Jesus performs this miracle. We're not told how it's done because obviously it's a miracle of God. But he begins to break the bread and he begins to break the fish and he begins to hand it to the disciples, each of whom has a basket. And he fills the baskets of each of these 12 disciples and they go forth into the crowd and they begin to distribute the food, the bread and the fish. And they do this until all have been fed. Look at what Mark tells us about this feeding. He says, "They all ate and were satisfied." Now, what that means is that every single person that was there, all 5,000 to maybe 20,000 people, all of them ate enough to be satisfied. They didn't just have a little tidbit, a little bite, and then go away hungry. They ate until they were stuffed, comfortably full of the bread and of the fish. They couldn't eat anymore. They had all that they needed to eat. And so he didn't provide merely a taste for every person in the crowd. He provided full sustenance. He provided an abundance of food from these meager supplies. And they ended up, the disciples ended up with more than they had to begin with. Notice that Mark says they picked up 12 full baskets of broken pieces and also of the fish. So Jesus started with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He broke them. He gave them to his disciples. They filled their baskets up. They distributed to all the crowd. And when they looked, their baskets were still full. They had enough left over in those baskets that Jesus had given them that the baskets remained full even though thousands of people had already eaten from those baskets. This is indeed the miracle. This was the point that Jesus was making. He wanted his disciples to take note of what was left over, which was more than what they had to begin with. This should have elicited astonishment from the disciples. It certainly did as Mark presents it here, because who would ever expect to have more left over than you had to begin with? A complete abundance. These baskets have not been diminished in any way. And that should make you think of the way God provides in the Old Testament. For example, every single day, 6 days a week, not on the Sabbath, God provided manna for his children who were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Every single day, 6 days a week, and on the last day, the sixth day, he provided enough manna so that they would not have to go out and were commanded not to go out and seek for it on the Sabbath day. And the manna would last for 2 days in that case. And so God provided for every single day of the week for 40 years from the manna. We also read, for example, of the provision of oil and meal for the widow of Zarephath by Elijah the prophet in 1 Kings chapter 17. And Elisha, his successor, also did a similar thing in increasing the oil in a pot of oil for a widow in his day, in 2 Kings chapter 4. She only had just a little bit of oil, and he told her to gather as many pots and even get pots from the neighbors and pour from that one pot. And she kept filling and filling and filling until there were no more empty pots left, and then the oil ran out. And so God is able to do this. He is able to multiply. We see this as a provision of God in the Old Testament. And here Jesus is providing exactly the same thing. And the point is this: God's provision never runs out. And so when we are faced with a need that the Lord has placed before us, a duty that is impossible to accomplish, we need to remember that God's provision does not lack. It never runs out. It will always continue to be there for us, that we can rely upon the Lord who supplies by His grace. This is where Mark notes that there were 5,000 men who were fed from the five loaves and the two fish. That word men being underlined. And so we believe that the women and children brought it up to 15 to perhaps 20,000 people who were fed from these meager rations. The same amount was left over that Jesus broke the bread and the fish into. And so he distributed it into the 12 baskets of the apostles. They distributed their food from the baskets. And when it was all over with, they still had 12 baskets of food left over. And so they had more left over than they had to begin with. And this was a miracle designed for his apostles. The crowd did not know where this food came from. They saw the apostles delivering bread and fish. They did not realize themselves that the miracle had taken place, but the apostles did. It was designed by Christ to help them understand that they needed to trust Him in His provision in everything. But they're very slow to understand the purpose of this miracle. Jesus, later on in the gospel, will mention this again and try to bring home the point that they have missed already. Now, there is a lesson for us in what's going on here, and that is that Jesus Christ is our good shepherd, that He is able to provide all that you need by Himself. He provides everything you need for your salvation, for life, and for godliness as you trust in Him each and every day. That you will not run out of the provision that God gives you each day to be able to live a godly Christian life before Him. And the reason He does this is because He has provided exactly what you need to be able to stand before a holy God. Jesus knows that you come to Him as a sinner. You come to Him empty. You come to Him with no merit of your own. You come to Him instead clothed in filthy rags of your own attempts at righteousness. You come to Him as one who deserves nothing but the wrath and curse of God forever. And Christ takes all of that and He provides for you from His holy provision. He provides for you His holy righteousness that you receive by grace through faith. He provides for you cleansing from your sin by His shed blood upon the cross. And He does this for each and every individual believer throughout all of history. All of God's elect, He is able to provide for. And so the wonderful thing is that Christ's provision for His elect cannot ever run out. There will never come a time toward the end of history when anyone would ever say, well, I want to be saved, I would like to be saved, but Jesus didn't have enough righteousness and He didn't have enough of His blood to save me. No, that every single one of God's elect will be saved by this provision of Christ done upon the cross and by His holy life. And Jesus will have as much left over of righteousness and holiness and forgiveness and cleansing as He had when He started His mission. It never runs out. Christ is an abundant Savior. He has come that we might have life, spiritual life, eternal life, and that we might have it abundantly, that He has provided for all of our sins. He has provided for our lack of righteousness by His holy righteousness. And so, my friend, if you're watching this today and you have never trusted in Christ before, you must do so now. You must flee from your sins and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Trust in Him and find in Him cleansing of your sins and forgiveness and holiness and right standing with Almighty God. You cannot do it on your own, but by the power of the Holy Spirit you can, and so you must. Flee to Christ, trusting in Christ today before it is everlastingly too late. Let's pray once again. Almighty, gracious, eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for the abundant provision of Christ for your sheep, for your elect, for your people. We thank you that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. We thank you that he is the one who laid down his life for the sheep, that indeed we are brought to you through what he has done for us. And so, Father, I pray that each Christian listening to this or watching this would be aware of Jesus' abundant provision for us, and that he indeed would trust in Christ more and rely upon that provision of Christ to do the duty that we've been called to do, to make disciples of all nations. And Lord, for any who are watching today who are of your elect, who have yet to come to saving faith in Christ, grant them eyes to see and ears to hear what is going on in this passage today. Open their hearts to believe the truth that Jesus is the Good Shepherd, that he lays down his life for the sheep, and enable that one to turn from sin in genuine repentance and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ by true faith and find forgiveness, not only in this life, but in the one to come, to find eternal life in Christ and in Christ alone. And so, Lord, my prayer is save your people this day through Jesus, the wonderful Savior who has provided all that we need to be able to stand before you forever. We pray these things in his precious name. Amen.